Greetings and welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean, and your website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com. Today is Thursday, February 2nd, 2017. And this is one of those random, unscheduled podcasts. And there's a few things I just wanted to share with you, and I'm going to try to keep it as short as possible. But today, you know, I just kind of wanted to take a few minutes. Well, first of all, I'm going to title this podcast "Keep Watching." The end is still near, and judgment is still coming. And so, I want to take a few minutes to talk about a couple of things, and I want to start with something that Jesus said in the Book of Matthew. And you know, I've never really stopped feeling this way, but I have to admit, I've been waiting and watching and trying to figure out what God is doing, specifically with America and Donald Trump. And there's a lot of things going around the internet. You know, the internet has some, you know, some great positive things about it, but it's also very terrible in the fact that there's a lot of misinformation and people saying things that they ought not say. And I'm just going to tell you right off the start, I'm not completely sure. You know, I saw a video from Brother Gary a couple of days ago, and I shared it on Facebook, and he was saying some similar things that I've been thinking, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to share some of my own thoughts with you in regards to this subject. And so I just want to, let's start with some of Jesus' words talking about the last day. Talking about the last days. In Matthew 24, Jesus talks a lot about the tribulation period and some things leading up to it. A warning to the Jews to flee Judea, specifically when they see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, etc. And he also says this. He says, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh." Right? And that's true. You know, in a couple months, you're going to go outside and the trees are going to be budding. The grass is going to start turning green. You're going to start hearing birds chirping. The wind is going to be a little warmer when it hits your face. And you know, based on everything going on around you, all of nature is telling you summer's near. At the very least, spring is right on around the corner, right? Jesus says in verse 33, "So likewise ye, when ye shall see these things, know it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." What generation? Well, the context is the generation that sees all these things, like what it says up above in verse 33. So the generation that sees these things start to pass, the generation that sees the fig tree starting to bloom, when it's seeing its branches tender and it's starting to put forth its leaves, ye know that you're the generation, and you will not pass until all these things be fulfilled. Verse 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Verse 36, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." You know, so about that day, we don't know. There's a lot we don't know of that day. Verse 37, but here's some clues. He's going to go on and give you some clues. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." Now, we can talk about the giants and the Nephilim and the genetic modification and all that stuff that was taking place in the days of Noah, just like they're taking place today. But the context is this, verse 38. "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, and marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now, the reason that I feel like this kind of has to be talking about the rapture and not the second coming is because, you know, when demons are flooding the earth and killing people, and, you know, angels have been released from the river Euphrates, and plagues are falling on the earth, and all these terrible things are taking place. Are people going to be, are we going to see the attitude of drinking and marrying and giving in marriage? I mean, I don't know. I guess that's possible, but I doubt it. Now, I could be wrong. It could be referring to, you know, his second coming. Verse 40, then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doeth come. Here's another thing. If he's not talking about a pre-tribulation thing right now, then I don't know how the Lord could make the claim that we don't know the day or the, or know what, I'm sorry, not the day, but we don't know what hour he's going to come and that we need to watch. Because all we have to do is count 3.5 years from the desecration, right? You know, once the Antichrist sets himself up in the temple and declares himself God, we know 3.5 more years from now, Jesus is coming back. But in this context, Jesus is saying, you know what? People are going to be eating, drinking. They had, just like in Noah's day, they had no idea that this was coming until Noah was secured in the ark. Then all this came upon them, right? And then he goes on to say, watch, because you don't know the hour that your Lord doeth come. Now, many believe that Israel is the fig tree. And of course, they were gathered back and made a nation again in one day, just like the prophecies and scriptures suggested it would. This happened in May of 1948, which would make this year in May the 70th year marker, which I think is pretty prophetic within itself. Jesus said that this generation would not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. So I have to ask you, do you think there's time for a great revival in a time of prosperity and things being wonderful again in America before the end times come upon us? You need to ask yourself that question, because what I'm seeing a lot of is good times are on the horizon because Donald Trump is president and, you know, all of these things where it's going to be great revival. He's going to, you know, all these things that are in place that the enemy has put in place to lead to the New World Order is going to be crushed now because of Donald Trump. And I got to ask, are you sure? Do you really think, is that really what you think the scriptures indicate? Because are we not seeing prophecy fulfilled? Are we not seeing the fig tree bloom? With the development of these technologies and microchips and robotics and whatnot. And what did Daniel say about iron and clay? He said that they would mingle with the seed of men, but it wouldn't take, just like iron and clay won't mix. If you go to Daniel 2, chapter 2, verse 42, it says, and the toes of the feet were part iron and part clay, so the kingdom shall be partially strong and partially broken. He's talking specifically about the kingdom there. But then in verse 43, he says, and whereas thou sawest iron mixed with merry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave to one another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Now we have this whole technocracy thing taking place where scientists are trying to find ways to merge human beings with robots. You know, you've got the virtual reality, all this weird and crazy stuff, implanting chips in people's brains, and, you know, even in the hands to open doors and to pay for things. You know, this is starting to take place in parts of the world. And Jesus said it would be like the times of Noah. So again, are we not seeing the parable of the fig tree that Jesus is talking about? Are we not able to look at what's going on in the world? Damascus is basically, I consider that prophecy fulfilled, or nearly fulfilled. Isaiah said that Damascus would become a ruinous heap, and here it is. It's a ruin. It's in ruins. We see the enemies around Israel, even Russia now in the Middle East. You know, we're seeing all of these things take place. So wouldn't we be the generation that shall not pass? Now, The reason why I say I'm skeptical, well, hang on. Let me point out one more thing. Jesus said it would be like the times of Noah, which we just discussed, and that people would be living as normal, getting married, drinking, etc. But then comes sudden destruction. But in the book of Luke, he adds this to the exact same story. Luke records a little bit more. It says, likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Things were, you know, they were doing normal things. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In one day, or in that day, he which shall be upon a housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down and take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Remember, Lot's wife turned back, and she was turned to a pillar of salt. And something that God's been putting on my heart is this idea of, hey, you know, don't look back to the past. Don't look back thinking that that time was better. You know, the scriptures say, don't put your hands to the plow and then look back. You guys know this, the hymn, I'm sure you've all heard it. You know, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. You know, am I the only one who can see that we're living in the days of Lot, or at least leading up to what the scripture's talking about? I mean, the modern world has become like Sodom and Gomorrah, and the scriptures say that Sodom and Gomorrah are an example to us. So we have a lot of people talking about how America's going to be wonderful again, going to be great again, going to be rich again. And I'm thinking, if Sodom and Gomorrah are as an example to us, shouldn't America be very fearful of this judgment instead of celebrating that good times are back? And that we can just get back to our luxurious living? I would also recommend that you read Revelation 18. 2 Peter, if you go to the book of 2 Peter, it says this, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world and the ungodly. Verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly. Did you catch that? Sodom and Gomorrah is an example unto those that after should live ungodly. He's saying this is what will happen. Now, last time I checked, America hasn't repented, and America's Sodom and Gomorrah tendencies are only getting worse day after day. And I thought about sharing some horrific news articles that I saw, but I just don't want to do it. Verse 7 says, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for the righteous man dwelling among them. And if you're a righteous man or woman in America today, you're gonna understand, and you're gonna empathize with this verse. Verse 8 says, for that righteous man dwelling among them, talking about Lot dwelling among the Sodomites, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And don't you feel that your soul's being vexed every day when you, if you turn on your TV, if you walk through your local mall, if you look at the news, and you see the unrighteousness and the unlawful deeds and the evil, and then you walk into the church in America and it's no different. Here's some good news. Verse 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. He's using Lot as an example, saying, I know how to deliver the righteous out of these situations and still reserve judgment. So you've got two examples. Noah and his family is saved. He's a righteous preacher. Lot, who wasn't even that righteous, but he was considered righteous, was taken out of the city, and then that city was burnt to the ground, being an example to the rest of the nations, through history that should act in that ungodly way. So now I have to ask you again, has America repented? Not that I've seen. Has the church become less apostate? Not at all. Does the scripture say there's going to be a great revival towards the end? No. It actually says there'll be an apostasia, a falling away. What does Paul say is going to happen? In 2 Thessalonians, he says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him." There's your context. Verse 2, "that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." That you see, these people were worried that the day of Christ was already at hand. He clears something up for them. Number 3, "let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Paul says there's going to be a great falling away before the day of Christ. Now, that's what he says. That's what the scriptures say. The scriptures say there'll be a great falling away, not a great revival leading up to the last day. Now, we have seen a massive falling away from the truth, have we not? And it's been going on for decades. Not a falling away of like Christian religion, but a massive and grievous falling away from truth and faith, true worship, true discipleship, true following of Christ. Just like the scriptures say, the church has become lukewarm, and a great falling away has taken place. Now, real quick, I know that some try to say that apostasia actually means departure, and it's the rapture. No, it doesn't. The context is a departure from faith and a falling away, not a rapture. It's an apostasia where we get the word apostate. Some of these guys think they are so wise, wiser than 54 men who translated the King James Bible because they have a strong concordance. The King James Bible got it perfect, falling away. And by the way, the Geneva Bible, this is what people try to bring up, translated it as departure, meaning a departure from faith, a departure from truth. So either we've got two options, guys. So either we are at the door of the last days, and I believe that we are, or there's going to be a great massive revival, and we still have a ways to go. So I would suggest to you, how about you pray? How about you seek God? How about you study the scriptures and tell me which one you think it is? Now look, in closing, because I'm about out of time here, I don't know if we have 5 minutes or 5 more years. What I do know is that I'm going to go with God's word over the word of YouTube prophets. And when I look at what God's word says, I fear, not fear, but I feel that judgment is what's really coming. Now, there could be pockets of revival. And look, I'm not against revival. I would love to see revival in America. And maybe we do have 4 more years or 8 more years, 4 to 8 more years for things to develop. And maybe there'll be a revival, and then there'll be a great falling away right at the end. But I feel like when I look at Europe and I look at America, just as examples, we've already fallen away from the truth. And even the churches that stand today, a majority of them, if not most of them, are apostate in themselves. And most of the version of the Bibles that are being put on the shelves today are apostate Bibles. And a lot of the Christian music, we're not singing hymns that are filled with doctrine like, "I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back." No, instead, it's what, rock music with absolutely no doctrine at all? I feel like the church has already become the lukewarm church, which is the last church age in the book of Revelation. I feel like it's already become apostate, like the scriptures said. You know what? I hope there is some revival, and if there is, I'd love to be a part of that, calling people back to righteousness, calling people back to the truth. But this is why you need to know the scriptures front and back. Otherwise you will be led astray by fables and wise tales from men who say that they are Jew, but they are not, but are the synagogue of Satan, coming along and giving you a new gospel and a perverse gospel and saying that you have to earn your salvation, and here's a list of things you need to do, and the blood of Jesus isn't enough. Men who say they're prophets, but really they're just a spirit of Antichrist, placing their own words above God's and adding to God's word with their own prophecies. And they go on YouTube and they spout this garbage. How about instead we study the Word, we walk in the Spirit, and we depend not on these false teachers. And when we hear one, we know it. That's a false teaching. That person is teaching falsely because the Word of God says XYZ, right? That's what you should be able to do. And if you can't do that, then guess what? You're going to move like the wind. You're going to be double-minded, like the scriptures say, you know, like the waves moving back and forth with every doctrine and theory that you hear online and on YouTube or somebody writes down or from a book, because you're not grounded in the Word, and therefore you cannot discern the truth. I hope that peaceful times are ahead. I hope that there'll be a movement back to the King James Bible and a back to hymn singing and back to reading and studying the Bible and back to praying in school and back to, you know, and a movement away from sexual immorality. And, you know, I hope that those things happen. I really, really do. But when I look at the Bible and I look at what's going on around the world, I feel like we're seeing the blooming of the fig tree that Jesus is talking about, which tells me that summer is nigh, the return of Christ is nigh, that we need to be watching and waiting because we know not the hour, it could be today. And we need to be praying for His coming because Jesus specifically said, I won't come back till they say Baruch Haba Hashem Adonai, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. We're actually instructed to pray and long for His appearing and for His return. I mean, what do you think it means when you pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done? We must pray, we must seek His return, we must believe and watch diligently, lest we be caught sleeping and be unawares, which is what I think is going to happen to many, many Christians around the world. So I'm going to end this podcast right here, and I'm just going to say, keep watching. The end is still near. Judgment is still coming. It may not be this year. It may not be next year. It could be today. So you need to be ready now. That's all I've got. I'm out of time. Peace and grace be with all of you. Remember the website, scriptureandprophecy.com. Shalom and God bless.